Getting the smile and confidence you've been dreaming about, all from the comfort of your home, isn't a total mystery with Bite Clear Aligners. Just don't be surprised if all your friends start asking, "What's your secret?" Begin by ordering your at-home impression kit today for only $14.95. Bite Clear Aligners are doctor-directed and delivered to your door. Treatment costs thousands less than braces, plus they offer flexible financing, accept eligible insurance, and you can pay with your HSA FSA. Get 80% off your impression kit when you use code WONDERY at Byte.com. That's BYTE.com. Start your confidence journey today with Byte.
Hey, I'm Jamie.
And I'm Justina.
And we're the hosts of Just So You Know, a podcast where we get to the bottom of suspicious stories and outright lies we're being told by companies that profit off of animals.
You think Elon Musk is shady? Wait until you hear our episode about his sinister brain experiments.
First he ruined Twitter, now he's coming for your actual brain.
No.
We've also got one about that time I stormed the runway at New York Fashion Week to protest Coach's leather handbags.
Yeah, I heard they weren't happy about that.
I couldn't tell you. They're not talking to me at the moment.
And we're just getting started. In the coming weeks, we're going to blow the lid off of everything from shady pet dealers to monkeys held hostage by coconut milk companies to the astonishing secret behind the "no animals were harmed" message you see at the end of movies.
And so much more. We'll hope you join us for this surprisingly fun journey full of strange characters, secretive companies, and a whole world of stuff they really don't want you to know.
Subscribe to Just So You Know wherever you get your podcasts and look for our new episodes every Thursday. Just So You Know is a PETA production.
Yeah.
Happy fucking happy hour. It's Fortune fucking Feimster. Come on.
Yeah.
Oh my God. I'm actually a little intimidated. You're so fucking funny.
As it's my good looks too.
Right?
The supermodel good looks really intimidates it. All the men and women
I don't
in
hate,
the room.
I don't hate you because you're pretty. I really don't. Okay. People know you from, right, Chelsea lately. Listen, can we just say, because we marinate in this fucking Trump shit show.
Right.
Your impression of Sarah Huckabee. Saddlebags. It's the stuff of my life.
Oh, because thank you.
You are so goddamn funny. Because it's hard to really. The only thing we've said lately is her tell is she, when she's going to lie, she always goes, "Look." Now look.
Look. I told you that's what it is. That's what it is. She just, you know, is one constant contradiction. So it was fun because. It was, I started doing her like pretty soon after she got the job.
Right.
And so people were kind of just starting to catch on to her ways. And, you know, I just came out and all I had to do was just act very aggressive and put on a wig. And she pretty much sounds like me already.
Because, okay, we have so much in common. This may be the first 7 hour happy hour because you're from North Carolina. My whole family lives in Charlotte, North Carolina.
I'm not from there, but I'm from Belmont, but it's right by Charlotte.
Yeah. My sister lives in Salisbury. My mom lives in Charlotte. My 95-year-old Trump voting Republican mom.
It happens down there.
Yeah. And my brother lives right outside Charlotte.
Yeah.
But, okay. So can we just talk about Sarah for a second? So it's just, I love the thing because she always either just shot a fucking kid out.
Right.
She's like, y'all, you can't ask me anything because I just put down some newspaper and I had another couple of kids backstage. But you did a bit on Chelsea that was so hilarious, her news Netflix one, uh-huh. Where you were like, I got another letter from a kid.
Oh,
those letters are all fucking bullshit,
yeah.
Right? A love letter to Donald Trump from some fucking kid? He's making all of them cry. There's not...
Because the kid's name was Pickles or something, wasn't it? So we said, this is from Cucumber. I just want to say you're the greatest president in the whole world. I also like, what's fun about playing these characters with Chelsea is that, you know, she's become very political.
Right.
So I like for these characters to talk smack back to Chelsea.
Right.
And she's a good sport about it. So, you know, even though people get really mad at me on one side for making, you know, poking at Sarah Huckabee, but I'm also like calling Chelsea names.
A whore, right.
In the process.
Yeah. No, I love it because Chelsea says, you know, I see you're dressing more like, you know, like tardy. And you're like, what does that mean? Tard? And she's like, no, you know, like a whore. And you're like, well, it takes one to know one.
Yeah. I'm like, well, then I learned from the best. What are you over there doing? And
but I love the whole letter. I got a letter from a kid named Pickles or Cucumber or something. And he says, you know, I've only had two presents in my lifetime. And, you know, I like you the best because you're the white one. Wait, does that all you're writing? Because your stand-up's brilliant. You just sold a project that's fucking Steven Spielberg.
Write all those. They would kind of come in. They wouldn't even tell me what I was doing. I just knew I was playing Sarah. And I would come in and they would have like questions written with like some answers. So half was like their stuff and half I just made up. It depended on what it was. The only thing I didn't write that and I got a lot of crap for was the last one, which was when I did a makeup tutorial.
That was fantastic.
I did not write that one.
Chelsea Handler's retweet of Sarah Sanders parody sparks outrage.
And people did not like that because they thought, you know, we were making fun of her looks that we crossed the line.
Oh, we get that all the time.
Yeah.
Yeah.
But she deserves it.
Well.
But, you know.
Our only thing is that when she's going to lie, she does have that one spinny eye. That one.
Oh, yeah. Everyone wanted me to do that eye, but I couldn't because you literally have to get one eye to go to the left and the other to the right. And they, you know, and your eyebrow has to go up.
I had that in Catholic school in Buffalo.
I don't have it.
Mrs. Thornton had that. She was like,
I haven't even had Botox, but I still can't do it. It's a special trait.
You have to go Google the Fortune memester Sarah Huckabee Sanders makeup tutorial because it is fucking hilarious. So anyway, but because this is why every little right wing lost their shit. Because it's a fake step-by-step makeup tutorial. Because you could tell.
Well, her makeup kept changing.
Yeah, yes, getting more
You know, when she first started, she had no makeup on. And then she had a little bit of makeup on. And then I was like, whoa, that's a lot of smoky eye. So they wrote a thing where, you know, I do a makeup tutorial and I give steps about my makeup. And in the end, my face is just like crazy. And I paint on a smoky eye with a paintbrush. So, yeah, people got really mad at me about that one. And I did not write that one.
Some of my favorite lines. Right now, my skin's dry, just like Puerto Rico right before that one rainy day they had. My face is a big, fat biscuit.
And you know what's so funny, though?
It's like gravy.
People were, like, saying I was being mean to her. Honestly, when I was playing that character, I kind of forgot I was playing her and just, like, was sort of playing me as, you know, so when I was, like, my face is a big fat biscuit. I was speaking like I was me. You know what I mean?
You're living your truth.
I wasn't even thinking that it was about someone.
You compared your foundation to America. It's Republican, it's strong, and it's white.
Yeah, those are all their jokes.
You said, listen, you pissed off trans people because you said, I used to not know what foundation was, but our great president was kind enough to take me to Sephora, and he said to employee, hey, you see that fellow over there? Make him a woman.
Yeah. Now listen, I'm glad I had my Sarah Huckabee days. It was fun, but I'm also kind of relieved it's over because Chelsea's show's over. Because my stand-up's very like nice and positive,
right?
And this is a little more snarky, and I don't know that I'm like made for like pissing off a bunch of people. I'm just
you're from the South.
I like to be more positive, so. You know, even though it was fun, I'm glad I did it. I'm also relieved. It's
okay. My favorite though is when Ann Coulter didn't show up, so you played Ann Coulter.
Yeah, that one was very last minute. Chelsea texted me and was like, "Can you be at the studio in 2 hours?" And she
in a blonde wig.
I was like, "Sure." I didn't even ask her what for because I've worked with Chelsea for so long. I was like, knew it would be something ridiculous. So I showed up and she was like, Ann Coulter canceled. I'm putting you in a blonde wig and you're just going to read excerpts from her book. I was like, okay. I don't look anything like her, but sure.
She introduced you as Ann Coulter's body double.
Yeah. And I was legit just reading verbatim from her book and it was insane. I mean, the stuff.
And then you played Ivanka as well, which was also delightful.
Yeah, that one they tried to make me look like her, which, you know, fail. But it was, that one was more just me in a dress with a blonde wig on.
Did we were just talking about that this weekend. Trump is fucking imploding the goddamn world, like blowing up the world between North Korea and Syria. And what? And she's like, Buenos dias, you guys. I'm in Peru.
Yeah. She's just trying to live her. She's trying to live her life.
Yeah, her best life.
But like, it's kind of impossible right now because her dad's president. And I feel like he really messed things up for that family. They were doing good.
They're grifting the fuck out of us, man.
They were making money and selling their whatever they sell. Yeah, and and now I feel like they're going to be under scrutiny for everything. And like, why did he
Dad, you've ruined everything.
Like, they were good. They were making money.
I had like Chinese kids that were like 7 making all my shoes for like a penny.
But you know,
you fucked it up.
Well, there's got to be some shady stuff that they were doing that's like everyone's like now trying to get to the bottom of it. Whereas before, it's like who would have been like,
no one cares.
Let's look into Trump's stuff, you know? So I think he really messed it up for his
now
family.
I know you've done drunk history. This is kind of like drunk Trump history right now.
Yeah,
this is what this is.
Yeah, I'm not.
What are you drinking?
I'm not drunk yet. I'm drinking a pomegranate margarita.
So is Travis. How fucking homo gay? How homo gay is that? Oh my god! What? Okay,
I said maybe the gayest drink you can possibly think of.
Yeah. Can you explain?
Well, I offered you a honey badger.
No. Can you explain the options that you offered Fortune Feimster? You're like, hi.
Well, I was a little excited because somebody finally asked for a margarita.
Yeah.
Which is my favorite.
Because lesbians are usually like,
we try to be supportive of people that are sober. We're like, oh,
are there a bunch of lesbians that come on here being like, I have a beer or a whiskey neat?
No, Ben Gleeb wanted old fashioned.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. Okay.
Steve Marmel.
I like a good
bourbon guy.
I like a good old fashioned.
Yeah.
I could have done that too.
I got Lily Tomlin's sauce on champagne. She fell out of her chair.
It's a Thursday afternoon, guys. It's time for something refreshing.
Wahoo.
I was ready to make pomegranate margarita, regular margarita, smoky margarita.
Yeah, I got a lot of
spicy.
A lot of options offered to me.
I know, it's more than you wanted, right?
Yeah.
No, it was
like, I just want a margarita.
I was like a kid in a candy store. Like, ooh, which one do I choose?
How's that working out?
It's great.
Okay, fantastic. It's now
delicious.
Where the fuck do we start?
I don't know.
You are currently a series regular on Champions. Mindy Kaling, Project Before That, obviously the Champions with Mindy Kaling. You play a fitness expert.
Obviously. Well, I'm a trainer. I'm a personal trainer. But, you know, the kind that just, like, yells at everyone to exercise.
It's mostly yelling.
Yeah, I'm not
My smoking hot ex is my trainer. Sean's been here for it. She just mostly yells at me, and I yell back at her.
Yeah.
Like, fuck you!
Yeah, I clearly don't have a background in physical fitness. But it's, I was doing the Mindy Project and it was about to come to an end and they had sold this pilot already and the NBC told them they wanted, you know, a little bit more going on at the gym and so they thought the idea of me being a trainer would be funny. And I was like, why not? I wasn't ready for the Mindy Project to end, so.
Right.
It felt like kind of an extension of that in a way. Yeah. The characters are sort of similar. They're all a version of me.
We have a weird amount of things in common. Let me just say, from North Carolina, where my family all lives now.
Yeah.
Again, I grew up in Buffalo, New York, but my mom and my brother and then my sister actually independently all moved to Charlotte area.
At the same time, or they all did it at a different time?
A little different. My sister and her husband bought a place near there, but my mom and my brother moved a long time ago to Charlotte from Buffalo. But
because it's cold in Buffalo.
But wait.
And
wings. You were a natural athlete on the basketball and softball team, lettered in both sports, and you worked in the recreation department of your city.
Right.
Me too. Dykey.
Very dykey.
Right? Junior dykey.
Yeah, I'm weirdly athletic. I know I don't look like it, but I even played college tennis and soccer.
Listen, my hook shot is still the...
It's
the fear of the Catholic League in upstate New York. Fortune. Tell me your family and your siblings and all that. Mm-hmm. And what's the town again in North Carolina?
Belmont. Small town.
What's the population there?
When I was growing up, it was 5,000.
Okay.
And it's now 10,000. Holler.
Wow.
Belmont.
Hello, Belmont. It's
a cool town, though. When I was growing up, there was nothing going on. It was very much dead as a doornail.
Yeah.
But, like, they didn't even sell alcohol in the city or in the town. But then when I was in college, it passed, And it honestly saved our town. Like, nice restaurants started to come in, like, cute little places started to come in. And now our town's like, everyone from Charlotte's wanting to move there. It's like got all the downtown's so cute. It's like a great little town now.
Wow.
Like, I actually bought a place back home, so I go visit several times a year.
So, wait, you're 37. Mm-hmm. Still.
Yeah.
You never know when these things come out, Travis.
I'll be 38.
And you just got engaged.
Yes.
To a smoking hot kindergarten teacher.
I know.
What's that about? Isn't that perfect for comedians? Oh, my God.
It's great.
That's what I need. I tell poo jokes all morning.
Yeah, she feels like she's dealing with a kindergartner at home. She, like, sometimes I get reprimanded like a kindergartner.
Hot.
Kindergartner.
Right.
Yeah, she's great. I met her in Chicago. I had to import her from Chicago.
Yeah.
And we had mutual friends. We met at Chicago Pride and started chatting. And, you know, as lesbians do, we've pretty much been together ever since. It'll be almost 3 years ago. What's that?
Since the moment you said hi.
Yeah.
We've had, like, the U-Haul on speed dial.
Yeah, it was just, like, immediately comfortable. She's never felt like a stranger.
Yeah.
Very weird.
It's fantastic.
But, and, you know, before that, I dated quite a few stinkers and, did, you know, it was kind of like done. I was like, ugh, I don't
really.
Like,
no, my life has been pristine. Shut up, Travis.
What? I didn't say anything.
No, my life has been pristine. Now, but you're only 37. You're still a baby. How old is she?
Same age.
Okay.
Yeah.
Yeah. Yeah, she's hot. I mean, whatever. Yeah,
she's a real, real pretty girl.
Couldn't you make a fortune setting up a dating service for comedians and kindergarten teachers? Don't you think straight,
I would
gay,
have to
anything?
Find more kindergarten teachers. That can't be easy.
Hotkindergartenteachers.com.
Hot kindergarten.
Like lesbiankindergartenteachers.com.
Can it be any teacher? Does it have to be a kindergarten teacher? No, it's great because she, you know, gets summers off and she travels with me a lot. This year she was subbing and got to travel with me a lot more. That was nice.
So if you mistreat her, that's just like her being a substitute teacher.
Yeah. You're
just
like,
did you just shoot a spitball at me? Yes, I did.
She's awesome, though.
Well, it sounds like it. And it sounds like, no, wait. So I'm looking back at your whole history in North Carolina. You didn't know enough about the world to realize you were gay. So it was easy to be isolated in Belmont, not knowing what was going on in the world around me.
Uh-huh.
So you didn't come out until 25 years old in 2005.
It was like 25 or 26. I can't remember.
Yeah.
But it was later because being from a small town, there honestly were no...
They didn't have that.
No one was out, you know. Yeah. And if they were gay or you suspected them to be gay, they were usually married to someone of the opposite sex. You're like, what? Right. That doesn't seem right. Yeah.
Mrs. Blungerborn. And it was. Gym teacher doesn't really seem.
It was before.
Like she's in the Mr. Blungerborn.
It was before gay stuff was out there, you know, on TV and.
Yeah.
And the internet was just kind of coming around. So the access to.
So you couldn't Google the gay.
Yeah, you couldn't Google the
You're
gay.
You're like, what does the A gay mean?
And you know, not seeing yourself represented, you just kind of don't, you know, have an example to follow.
Right.
So I just kind of, I knew something was amiss. You know, I knew that something, like that my feelings towards friends were a little more intense than they should be. But you couldn't really put your finger on it. It wasn't.
Right. Well, you could, but you didn't then.
I didn't put my finger on anything.
You didn't know where it was.
Right. I get that, though. I grew up in a small town.
Yeah.
And it was like, I didn't see gay people around.
Right.
It was
no, I didn't either. Yeah.
Not right.
Yeah. So. Well, I'm older than y'all's. So, We didn't have that.
Yeah.
What? So, wait, you were, can I have some nostalgia music? Born in 1980. Oh, isn't that precious? She missed the 60s and 70s, y'all. That's so
precious.
Did
she miss them?
To Mike and Ginger in Charlotte, North Carolina.
Yeah.
Yeah. And how many siblings?
Two older brothers.
Yeah. All right, we can stop that. So you left in 1998 to study communications at Peace
College.
University, Raleigh School.
Yeah.
For women only.
It was a women's
college.
You
thought, like, I'm going to a women's college. It'll be like jackpot. Let's les it out.
No, I totally missed out on my opportunity. It was a gold mine of women, but I still didn't know I was gay. It was a total missed opportunity. No, honestly, I went there because they gave me a big academic scholarship, and it was kind of the only way I could afford college. And I had friends that had gone there who loved it. I was, like, kind of hesitating because I wanted to go to a bigger school. I wanted to go like Chapel Hill.
Yeah.
But I had to go where I could afford it.
Well, we have that in common, too. You were smarty pants. You gave summa cum laude. You gave the commencement speech. I was second in my class in high school.
There
salutatorian,
you go.
Gave the speech.
Yeah.
Yeah. I think it was mostly for stage time, wasn't it? We didn't really want to study that much. I was just like, I'm going to need the microphone.
That's when I learned I love speaking in public was the graduation speech.
Right.
I like made people laugh and I was like, oh, wow, this is cool.
Oh, this is good. Yeah.
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 But yeah, I went there and honestly, though, it would not have been a great place to be out.
Yeah.
It was fairly conservative.
Did you see a penis in high school, college? No.
Oh yeah, I saw one.
Yeah. Well, how was that for you?
Not great.
No.
I talk about in my Netflix special that I grabbed it like a hot clarinet.
Yeah. Yeah. Sure.
Because I didn't know what to do with it. You know, we were in high school and it was just hanging there and it was like gross and
yeah.
You know, no.
No,
it was
you guys,
before YouTube. But, you know, and
yeah.
Now, sure. Nowadays, if you want to learn how to handle,
you're like,
a
if
penis,
you blow it, did at least some good music come out?
Yeah, you just go on YouTube. Right. Some girl named Jessica will, you know, show you in 10 easy steps how to do it.
Yeah. Now, you realized, no joke, you were gay watching a Lifetime movie. Which one? Which one was that?
The Truth About Jane.
Oh,
see that one?
No, I did not.
It's Stockard Channing. Plays the mom.
Loved her.
And there was a girl in high school who realized she was gay, and her mom was like, boo. And then by the end of the movie, the mom was like, yay. That was basically the movie.
I got it. Yeah.
And for some reason, watching that movie made me for the first time be like, oh my God, I'm gay. I don't know why. It just hit me. I was like, I'm gay.
Yeah, I either wanted to be Stockard Channing in Grease or I wanted to do her. I can remember. It was confusing.
It was a
confusing time. Okay. So, wait a minute. Your fiancé is actually named Jacqueline Smith?
Yeah, like
Come
the
on.
Charlie's Angel.
Get
Angel.
The fuck out.
That's
because
awesome.
Yeah, people get
We all wanted to be or do Jacqueline Smith.
People always get excited. Like, they get excited when they see her name on something thinking that, you know, the Jacqueline Smith
Wait, do you have to be
up.
Kate Jackson? Or do you, what do you...
What's that? Yeah, I'm Kate Jackson.
You're too
I
want
to be Farrah Fawcett. Come
yeah,
on.
Right? We all had to play somebody. And I was like, I don't want to be Kate Jackson. She's the ugly one.
I want to have the feathered bangs.
I liked Kate Jackson.
Yeah, see, because you're a homo.
They were all
She's
pretty.
Because no one wanted to bang Kate Jackson. Everyone wanted to bang Jacqueline Smith or Farrah Fawcett.
Yeah.
That's how you knew you were a fucking pole smoker, man. Because she was the smart one.
Yeah.
That no one wanted to fuck.
Like for a brain.
All right.
No one wants to be with the smart one.
What are you drinking again?
I'm drinking a pomegranate margarita.
All right. We're going to take a moment and refresh our pomegranate margaritas. How do you refresh a Chardonnay? Who can say?
You get that bottle out and you pour it.
Yeah. And then we'll be right back. Well, I don't know if pomegranate margaritas run through you like Chardonnay, but wow, I got to go to my bathroom. And mostly because I miss my select wines. Don't you?
I always miss
I miss them
wines.
When they're not there. I really do. Selectblinds.com is the simple, smart way to get blinds, period. You know why? I have white, wooden, furniture-quality blinds in my downstairs bathroom right here where we tape Happy Hour and in my kitchenette where I get more Chardonnay.
I believe Fortune has some privacy right now thanks to those select blinds.
Yes, because I'm just telling you, I have the exact same ones upstairs. They were roughly $1 zillion because that's before I knew about selectblinds.com. These are the same products you see on all your favorite home improvement shows, but I'm telling you a fraction of the price. They are unbelievably high quality, easy to install blinds, shades, and shutters. Sean, you and I believe, were drunk when we did it.
Yeah.
We went to selectblinds.com. It was so easy. They actually, the specialist asked us, are you drunk? We were like, yes. They're like, that's okay.
That's how people
That's
usually
how
put these
easy
up.
This is to choose, measure, even install your select blinds.
They got
and,
this.
And we were like, thank you very much. And we were simple remarks.
Janine Pirro can put these up.
Yes, Janine Pirro can put these up with help from Select Blinds. To get the best deals on blind shades and shutters, Janine, shop today at selectblinds.com. Remember, mention Stephanie Miller at checkout. Let selectblinds.com upgrade your home but today. Selectblinds.com. Fortune.
Yes. Definitely.
No, I was actually shocked because I only knew you as being fucking goddamn hilariously funny. And we have all these like intersections.
Yeah.
You know, being gay, obviously, like that you're from North Carolina. I'm not from there. I grew up in Lackport, New York, which is up in transit from Cheektowaga, Lackawanna, and Tanawande outside Buffalo.
Oh, yeah.
Yeah. But then my whole family moved just weirdly to Charlotte area.
Yeah.
Many years later. But so that's like, that's my home. That's where I go back to because so no one I'm related to.
Yeah. Buffalo area?
No. To Charlotte.
Oh, to Charlotte. Because
that's where my mommy is. Yeah. My mom is a 95-year-old Trump voting Republican.
95? That's impressive.
Fox watching. That's how I know her whole goddamn complex looks the same in Charlotte.
Yeah.
It's only the one where the Fox News is blaring. I'm like,
that's
my mom.
Yeah, that's, but that's mom. Kind of the case in most of the South. It's all Fox News.
Right.
Playing in the.
But so how
except
is that?
The airports, I believe it's CNN.
Oh, I know. I get they so pay, happy they in the airport. I'm like, huh? They're seeing about the indictments and shit. Look
you gotta
what,
pay
hey,
for that, though.
Look what's happening.
I think CNN pays for it to be in the airport.
Oh, good job.
Good for them.
Got to advertise somehow.
Mm-hmm. It must confuse the Fox watchers. They're like, what? Who's under indictment for what now? What?
There's so much going on. It's impossible to keep up with it.
Mm-hmm. Well, what? Okay, so what? You're obviously being gay and mm-hmm. being. I mean, it's just like a weird fucking time to be alive, isn't it? Where we've made all this progress mm-hmm. under Obama and whatever, and now we're just like we have what Mike Pompeo there? Like I don't know.
It's
okay.
It's basically what I said. It's.
I don't want to be. Is gay sex a perversion? Well,
yeah, I don't want.
It's
say.
Icky. I just don't.
Doesn't believe in gay marriage. He said that.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah. But you've been an outspoken, you know, advocate, activist in many ways. I mean, even though you're not like politics isn't your thing, but you're right, because being associated with Chelsea and doing Sarah Huckabee Sanders and Ann Coulter and Ivanka.
I mean, there are certainly way more outspoken gay people than I am. I mean, I think for me, the most important thing is just being who I am and being visible. I think that's the most important thing I can do is just be a gay person on TV. That makes a difference, you know, but like for me personally, and everyone's very different. There are plenty of comedians who are very political and that's their jam and good for them. And although I follow politics, when it comes to my show, my live stand-up show, I don't talk about politics at all because I've really tried to make it a point in my career to be a comedian who is relatable to as many people as possible. And, you know, if you get up on stage and immediately are like, fuck this person, fuck that person, you're isolating half of your audience.
I think
audience.
You actually claim in your act to be a member of every member of the Honey Boo Boo family.
Yes.
And that's a good move.
I am
that
part of that move. Family. Mm-hmm. And I think, good for the people that talk about politics, they're probably a lot smarter about it than I am, but... You know, for me, it's just I just want to tell stories and make people kind of forget about that stuff for a minute.
Oh, I hear you, man.
Just have a good time.
Yeah. No, I hear you. Seriously, Travis and Sean and I, we fucking marinate in this shit, and it's
every
exhausting.
Every day.
And I realize, I've said this many times, I'm like, I hate him, and I've never hated anyone in my whole life, and I realize it's not healthy, and I feel like my mom, my 95-year-old Trump-voting Republican mom in Charlotte, called me the day after the election. She never calls me. She's afraid of electronics. She's like, every message my entire life has been like, Steffi. And then there's just a dial tone. Like, she doesn't really know what to, but she called and she really, I was crying and she was really actually, you know, and I thought it meant a lot to me, but I was like, Mom, I'm gay. I really, you know, I wanted you to see me get married before you die. And like, do you understand? And but watching Fox News, they don't understand.
Yeah.
She's like, oh, Steffi, he loves America. He's doing the best he can. He's doing a great job. Okay. All right. But he is a fucking lunatic that has no idea what he's doing on any subject. He's a goddamn traitor. Like, we've never lived through this in our lifetime.
Yeah,
this is not normal.
I know. I mean, I think for people like us, we're all just like, fearful of what's to come.
Right.
But we are in a technology and TV has made it such that you can, and people can for sure live in a bubble.
Yeah.
So
yeah.
If when some big story breaks and you see it all over Twitter, all over CNN, go to Fox News, you won't see that story.
No, they have sex crazed pandas. We're not fucking kidding.
So, you know,
Tucker Carlson on the day of the Michael Cohen raid was covering sex crazed pandas.
Yeah. So
my mother, literally,
your mom's not going to be in fear
because
she's not.
We're watching the Karen.
We're not watching the same things or hearing the same things.
We're watching the Karen McDougal interview. She's like, "Oh well,
she's not saying, she's saying nice things about him. This won't hurt him. I'm like, my deeply Catholic mother that was married to my father till for 40 years till he died, that never would have cheated on her. I'm like, how is this fucking okay now?
Yeah.
This is okay that he was, the president was raw dogging a porn star.
Well, it's because Fox News isn't outraged by it.
Right.
If they were, then.
Really?
Then the, maybe the people would be like, you're right, that is bad. But, you know, they're not talking about it. No one's in a rage or.
What about evangelical Christians where you're from?
Listen, it's a, I get it. I've dealt with the hypocrisy my whole life. People, you know, saying that you're a sinner for one thing and then they're, you know, doing another sin.
Yeah.
At home. You're like, how is that different?
No, I mean, especially this fucking guy.
Yeah.
Really? You're fucking raw dogging a porn star and a Playboy bunny while your wife is giving birth. Like, what? Oh my God. It's your third one.
I mean, it's always crazy like that.
And gay people are, and we're fucking gross.
Well, you have Franklin Graham saying that, you know, he's chosen by God to lead our country and gay people are sinners. You know, it's like, I've never raw dogged a porn star or, you know,
I'm not sure lesbians can raw dog. Can we?
I don't
Travis
think it works.
Elucidate.
Quite that way.
I don't think
Listen,
so.
Don't tell us.
Could
we
raw dog
do
each
something?
Other at the happy hour afterwards?
I'm sorry. Equal rights.
Even
for
thank
everyone.
You. Okay. Thank
if
you.
Women want to raw dog,
has a
women
fiance.
Can raw dog.
Could I raw dog Fortune Feenster after this?
Raw dog.
Just out of gratitude.
Raw no, dog is such a crazy visual.
That's also like such a straight term.
It is.
The gays
raw
don't
dog.
Use that term.
We don't raw dog.
No.
We pet dogs.
Exactly.
Heavy petting.
All right. Let's, all right. Wait, let's talk about, okay. You, in, wait a minute. In fact, in Variety named you one of their top 10 comics to watch in 2014. Now, yeah. Have they been like watching, like stalking you in a creepy way since
oh,
then?
Oh, yeah. They're calling every week.
They're just like, hi,
Variety, Fortune. Leave me alone.
I'm trying to get in my car.
We're what's your favorite
watching.
Comedy show? What's your favorite comedy
watching
show?
Watching.
Do you like scary movies?
It's part of the Montreal Comedy Festival. They pick like 10 comics every year as kind of like,
but you've
been
on
these
everything.
People are doing pretty good kind of thing.
But last comic standing, you've been mm-hmm. on Glee, on Two Broke Girls, on Drunk History, and Conan,
yep.
Obviously after lately. Here's another thing we have in common. We started the Groundlings.
Oh, yeah? Did you,
yeah.
you do the Groundlings?
Well, not that well.
Ah!
I told the story that I was a celebrity guest, and I was not really an improver like Will Ferrell.
Uh-huh.
And so we were doing a, I don't know. Some scene where I was a slutty ghost and I actually shoved my tongue in his mouth because I didn't.
Oh,
I was
really?
I was nervous uh-huh. and I thought like I don't really. Oh, I wasn't supposed to actually.
Uh huh.
Yeah, yeah.
And what but, did he do when you shoved?
Well,
it?
He liked it and he seemed to be very nice
yeah.
about it. But I
he was like, yes, and
yes.
keep this up. all you improv people out there, we're gonna really love that joke.
That's a good. I get it. I don't even improv.
Do you know Karen Murayama?
Yeah, she was my teacher.
Me too.
Yeah.
Okay, she's. Fantastically funny improver, director, whatever. So, yes, I was in her class uh-huh. at Growlings, and so she didn't. She failed me. Go to the next level.
She's
and,
a tough teacher.
Yes, she's a fantastic teacher. And then I got my late night show.
Yeah.
And right after that, she had to come in and audition for me to be one of my sketch players on my late
night. Oh, yeah. Life is very funny like that.
And I could tell she was a little nervous. And you know what I did, Fortune?
You're like,
you I hired did. Her.
Oh, there you go.
I hired her because that's how big a person
you don't
I am.
Hold grudges. I like
no,
that.
No. And she's fucking hilarious.
She's very funny.
But yeah. Groundlings
she's tough,
is
tough, though. She
She's tough, man.
It was like boot camp.
She feels like, I feel like you're always going for the
she'd
joke.
Yell at me all
you're
the time.
You're not in character. You're going for the joke. And I was like, you know what? I probably should get a fart joke radio show.
Yeah, Groundlings is I was there like 7 years.
Yeah.
That's where I learned how to do most of the stuff I do.
Well, I mean, honestly, I'm not, because, you know, we've had a lot of people. I don't stick my tongue up everyone's ass, Fortune, but you are fucking hilarious.
Thank you. Just
I
me
mean,
and Will
your
Ferrell.
Your stuff is so, but you know what I mean for other comics?
Yeah.
We don't laugh out loud a lot
I know,
of
that we're all jaded.
Right. But your shit is so goddamn funny.
Oh,
just the way you're
you.
In character, like, and in the moment, and you can tell there's a combination of the writing and the sort of improv-ing.
Yeah.
Whether you're Sarah Huckabee Sanders or you're Ivanka or you're whatever. And it just, I anyway. But
I like that you call her Ivanka. What do you call her? Ivanka?
What's her name?
Ivanka.
Ivanka. Oh, what the fuck her name
Ivanka.
Is.
You're like, I'm not going to say it that
she
way.
She also won't say president.
Oh, yeah.
Hold that thought. That margarita glass is empty, Missy. You know, if Travis did not know how to make a pomegranate a margarita, he would have been fired instantly.
Oh, yes.
He's lucky. You are lucky, mister.
Or you could just go on ZipRecruiter and find someone who can make a pomegranate margarita for
exactly,
you.
Exactly. Just it so happens Travis Bone has an eerie knowledge of different kinds of margaritas. But I'm just saying that's how specific you can get at ZipRecruiter. You'll be like, I don't want this laggard around that doesn't know how to make a cinnamon toast flirkentarni.
A flirtini, maybe?
Yes.
You need a bartender who can make that.
ZipRecruiter knows there's a smarter way. They build a platform that finds the right job candidate just for you. They learn what you're looking for. They identify people with the right experience, invite them to apply to your job. These invitations have revolutionized how you find your next hire. You know what? I bet you they'd bring me Rachel Maddow if I put it into ZipRecruiter right now. She is a noted,
mixologist.
Yes. And then I would have to write back and say I cannot afford her. But thank you. That was a good recommendation. In fact, 80% of employers who post a job on ZipRecruiter get a quality candidate through the site in just one day. ZipRecruiter doesn't stop there. They spotlight the strongest applications so you never miss a great match, even if you are drunk, as I am now.
Yes.
Okay. What? The right candidates are out there. ZipRecruiter is how you find them. Businesses of all sizes trust ZipRecruiter for their hiring needs. If you need someone to make flarkentarnies in your basement, ZipRecruiter will find them. Right now, my listeners can try ZipRecruiter for free. That's right. Go to ZipRecruiter.com/Stephanie. ZipRecruiter.com/Stephanie. ZipRecruiter, the smartest way to hire. Here's what you said that I think, I got to say, this is so important. This is a serious part.
Oh, okay.
Let's shift to a serious.
We're going to dig deep here.
What's the chin scratching part of this about? No, you talked about being on Champions. It's your opportunity to show audiences a normal gay person. You said growing up in North Carolina, you know, there was a lack of representation about that. You said, I think just showing people a normal gay person does all the good in the world because a lot of people have fears about gay people. I'm pretty confident they don't know gay people personally. And I got to tell you, in poll after poll after poll, that is what is moved gay rights.
Oh, yeah.
Because they're like, oh, it's my favorite comedian or radio host or, you know, sports football player or country singer or, and you're absolutely right. That is actually a thing in polling that they go, oh, it's my sister or my, or someone I love. It's my neighbor or my.
Yeah, they've got to personalize it. Yeah. If you don't know gay people, then you're only going on what people like Fox News say about gay people. You're like, oh, they're scary. They wanna, you know, push their agenda on us. But if you're like, wait a second, my uncle's gay and he's a nice guy, or my brother's gay, it makes a huge difference. So for me, is what I meant by playing a normal gay person and just being a gay person is, you know, I live my life a certain way, and I, with social media, post a lot about my life on a daily basis, and it allows people who follow me to see, like, my life is, it's not some debaucherous, like, life. I'm just, like, at home with my girlfriend, with my dogs.
Yeah.
We, you know, care about the same things that everybody cares about, and that makes a difference.
Like, I remember, okay, Travis, just shut the fuck up for a minute, but.
So, say anything
I
over
like
here.
Pretty feminine women. So let me just say, I have dabbled in the straight end of the pool.
Oh, yeah? You've,
but I remember having one girlfriend that was like, well, what's this lifestyle like? And I was like, well, it's like this. We have, you know, friends over and we eat food and stuff. And then we...
Wait, what? She was asking what the gay lifestyle
like, what's this like? Because, first of all, I do a goddamn fart show in my basement. I go to bed at 7 o'clock. I'm not like, what do you mean lifestyle? I've never been in the gay lifestyle. Yeah. I go to gay clubs. I don't really, you know.
Yeah.
And so I'm like, you know, and most of my friends are straight. I mean, just by happenstance or whatever. I mean, not, you know, that I don't have gay friends. But I mean, I thought, like, isn't it interesting? But just people's perceptions of what's the gay like you're out every night with, like, you know,
we're just
meth
like,
and glow sticks.
Glow sticks all the time. I know, yeah. I mean, people...
And you're with a goddamn kindergarten teacher, so what's that like?
I know. It's like, could not be more normal. We watch TV every night. But I think that's important for people to see, because then it becomes... I have, like, being from the South, a lot of, you know, Southern Baptist friends. I have Mormon friends, people that will, like, never know what a gay, you know, quote-unquote lifestyle was. And they see me, and they're just like, oh, well, you're a good person.
Oh,
you're nice.
Okay, all right.
You know?
Yeah.
So we're just doing the Lord's work here, just being good gay folks.
That's right. Take your organ out, Sean, please, for us. here's another thing we have in common.
Amen.
Your early comedy influences were Saturday Night Live and Carol Burnett's show.
Yeah.
Carol Burnett was my hero. Jody Hamilton's, her daughter, is my friend and our guest every Tuesday. And
I love Carol Burnett so much.
Right? Every Saturday night, just like, ugh.
Yeah, I would go to my grandmother's house a lot because she lived right around the corner.
But you're a tiny baby. You're like almost 20 years younger than me.
It was reruns.
It's syndication. That's how I watched it, too.
Aww. And
it's brought us all together, you
we'd
oldsters.
We'd sit there and watch
it. You youngsters and me oldsters.
But yes. She was doing, I feel like I have my hands in a lot of different things, different parts of the business, and she kind of was the pioneer of that. Her monologue was essentially stand-up.
Yeah.
Then she did sketches, and then at the end, she asked questions, which was improv.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, I was, like, seeing someone do all of these facets of comedy, and I was blown away. And so when I got out here and started doing it, I was like, I want to do that. I want to do everything. I went to her live show in Chicago last year, and I, like, cried. I was like, oh, my God, I love her so much.
No, Jody had her call me on my birthday, and it was just me weeping for the whole thing. And I was like, I wanted to be Carol Burnett, and then all my dreams died. And she's like, you're the Carol Burnett of radio.
She's, I was like, she's the best. And like, I love the story about like Vicki Lawrence was like a fan, like in high school.
Yeah,
Wrote her a letter to come to her pageant. She went and then hired her like a year later. It's crazy. She's awesome.
Yeah. Okay, but isn't this what's weird about the difference between our era and Carol Burnett? Is you are, for all the amazing things you've done, you've just sold a trip to Spielberg. You're fucking like you're best known for the ice cream dance, which
that's my biggest accomplishment today. Dancing with ice cream.
We had Glozell on the happy hour. I'm like, she just rung the bell at the fucking stock exchange. What? She just sticks fucking pepper in her mouth. Like what the fuck? Where have I gone wrong?
I know, it's the social media of our world today.
But you just had an ice cream cone with your friend at Disneyland, and you were just like, I'm just happy.
I was just in a very happy place. My friend caught a moment of pure joy where I was eating an ice cream cone. I was at Disneyland, and a parade was going by at the same time. This is like
what's
a trifecta
fun
of amazing.
Wow!
And they videotaped me dancing.
A parade of ice cream.
Yeah, they taped me dancing with it, and I put it online, and people were like, this is the greatest thing I've ever seen. And I just kept dancing with ice. It became like a thing where I would dance with ice cream, and now people are like, everywhere I go, do an ice cream dance. And it's just, you know.
You're like, God damn it, I'm on the verge of an Emmy.
It's just.
How dare you?
It's an excuse to eat ice cream.
But watching a video like that can get us through this Trump administration.
Exactly. That's what
but
I.
Isn't
that's,
that like even,
that's my place in the world. Yeah. It's just to make people laugh for
that's
a few.
How
few
I
minutes.
Go on vacation from my this shit fucking show from Orange Julius Caesar. As I go on bike trips, but you know why? Because you feel like a kid again.
Yeah.
When you're riding bikes, even with other adults, you're like, I'm in my bike gang.
Uh-huh.
From when I was a kid, you're like, I'm fucking eating ice cream and just like, fuck you, Donald Trump. La, la, la. Right, like, we need that right now more than ever. Just finding that childhood place.
Yeah, because there's plenty of people who are on Twitter expressing outrage and their opinions. That's covered. We're good. Like everyone's got an opinion. So I'm just gonna do my little silly. I'll do my own fart jokes. You know.
But you know what it is? It's like how, remember that Chewbacca mom became like a huge internet sensation?
Oh, yeah.
Because she just put her kid's Chewbacca mask on, but she was like, oh, look, it does it by itself. Look.
Yeah, pure joy. People love that. At the end of the day, people want to feel good. They're just getting bogged down with a lot of negativity.
But that's what I feel like you do for people. Like you, just in your comedy and you're just in your persona and your stand-up, like you're sort of pure fucking joy. You're just like, you know,
oh,
what,
thank you.
Fuck this. And so now you've sold a strip. Tell us about Bad Cop you sold to Spielberg. That's fucking amazing.
Yeah, it's pretty crazy. I wrote a movie with my friends, the two guys that I had sold a pilot with a couple years ago. We worked on this script. It's called Bad Cop. It's about two female rookie cops who really suck at their jobs, and are on desk duty. They want to.
It's like the Trump administration. bad cop. Just stupid cops.
They just want. They want to get in on the action, so they convince a lieutenant to like train them. Kind of like it's kind of like a comedy training day. Yeah. The lieutenant's like dirty and ends up making them do all their dirty work over the course of 24 hours, and we get in a lot of trouble. And yeah, I had done Office Christmas Party. I had a small part in Office Christmas Party, and yeah. Spielberg's company was one of the studios. Yeah. And they like were like, you know, Steven really loves you and wants to do something with you. And I'm like, what? And I was like, well, what? We have this script. We just are about to finish, and they bought it.
Wow.
So we'll see. It's a long process. That's what I learned. It's a long process.
Fortune Feimster, 37, engaged, happily married to a hot kindergarten teacher. Just sold a strip to scripted Steven Spielberg. Living the dream.
Living the
gentlemen.
Dream.
Living the fucking dream.
Eating ice cream.
Just eating ice cream. Hey, listen, that is not to be underestimated in this fucking shit show, Travis.
We need it.
Of this goddamn
or we drink.
Mango Mussolini. Yeah, you drink. Is just to fucking eat ice cream, drink whatever the fuck's in your glasses.
It's a pomegranate margarita.
That's what I'm talking about. That's what I'm talking about.
Yeah, it's happy hour.
Just whatever you have to fucking do to get through this, you do it.
Dance. Get some ice cream and dance. I promise you it'll make you feel better.
Yeah. Right?
Or go on my Instagram page and look under the hashtag ice cream dance and watch me dance ice cream.
Right. It's like a redux, but better of the Eddie Murphy. Like when the ice cream truck came, we were kids like, I got the ice cream. Mm-hmm. Here comes the ice cream. It's true. We need the goddamn little fucking things, Fortune.
I'm here to serve.
Can you get me on a hot kindergartenteacherteacher.com?
Are you looking for somebody? Yes.
Desperately single.
What do you like? Let's find out. You like a
like just like your wife. Not that I would steal your wife, because that
like
would
I
be.
I basically want Jacqueline.
She does want Jacqueline Smith.
I want Jacqueline.
The Jacqueline.
I want to eat ice cream with her on the Santa Monica Pier, like just walking away from you.
Would you do one of those dating apps?
Like, damn you! Why did I do this happy hour?
Would you do an app? No. Oh, you want to meet the old-fashioned way?
Yes,
because Steph, an app is how I did it.
You did what? You, on
people
an
are
app?
Creepy.
Oh, Grindr.
Listen, I'm
on
not.
Of course.
Grindr hookup on Valentine's
Wait,
Day.
Wait, but you're like in a serious thing with that person?
4 years now.
Engaged.
We're getting married this August.
Engaged, motherfucker.
Wow, Grindr really pulling through. Normally, it's just a nice bone in the bathroom. These gay folks over here.
I feel like she's anti-fagastic or something. Like,
no, I've seen her at almost Hollywood on Sunday. Funday.
Oh yeah,
what?
She's all down.
I'm all down with the gay guys. Right. I'm kind of a gay
Fortune
man
Feimster,
on the inside.
Give America, oh, hang on, let me give America some advice beyond eating ice cream. How do we get through this fucking traitorous, goddamn grifter shit show of a fuckstick of a president? How do we do it?
You gotta look for the positive. Don't get bogged down in all the negativity.
Uh-huh.
All of these media sources want you to be fearful. That's okay. How they keep getting
Don't
you to
be
watch
afraid.
The news. It's going to be okay. We're going to pull through. You got to be positive.
Eat ice cream. Dance.
Yeah.
Fucking
scissor.
Go see Fortune.
Go scissor.
Whatever the fuck.
Or raw dog. Or whatever.
Or raw dog.
Go raw. You know what? Go raw dog somebody in honor of the fucking fake
go
president.
Go
what?
Go see
me. In honor of the fake president.
Or,
go raw dog some motherfucker
or
on your
stream. Or come to one of my comedy
cares?
Shows.
Yes.
Come see me live.
Yes, please do it.
Yeah.
When are you touring? Do you have anything coming up?
Yeah, I'm doing a bunch of tours. A bunch of cities. Phoenix, Charlotte, Nashville, Seattle, Boise, Milwaukee, Chicago, San Francisco. And that's just in May and June.
Get tickets.
Come on.
FortuneFeimster.com. You are the fucking shit, man.
I'm doing a bunch of gay prides in June.
Wow,
I'm
going
to be gay in
this. Yo, you know what? I think you can lick that problem. What?
I'll find you a girlfriend while I'm out at the
Woo!
Gay pride.
Fortune Feimster, happy fucking happy hour.
Happy hour.
Love you, baby.
Happy hour.
Love you, baby.
Thanks for having me.
Thank you.